So we're grateful for the presence of each one, and we delight always in being together for the cause of Christ. Appreciate the good singing we've enjoyed tonight and the prayer that was led. And indeed, as we go back to our study that we started this morning, Eyes of the Heart, we believe that it's important and interesting for us to gain insight into that. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said in verse 16, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For those things which are seen are temporal, but those things which are not seen are eternal." When we talk about the eyes of the heart, as I said this morning, we're talking about the affections of our mind and thinking. We're not talking about the heart down here. That's the pump that pumps the blood through our bodies. But that's not the heart that this is speaking about. It's talking about the heart that's up here. The heart that the Proverbs talked about when it said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And so here Paul said, what we see is temporal. In other words, with the physical eye. But that which is seen not with the physical eyes, that which is eternal. And so it is the eye of the heart. How wonderful then to know that our hearts have eyes. And our lesson is intended to give strength to those who may be weary in well-doing, whose fainting hearts may need a firm basis for their hope. And we can do that if we will turn back to the Word of God. Indeed, we find the Word of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it is alive to discern the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. In Acts 26, we noticed this morning that Paul was sent to the Gentile nation to open their eyes, that they might turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified, he said, in Christ Jesus. And so because of that, he realized it was not their physical eyes that were having trouble, but it was the eyes of their heart. In Revelation 3:18, it says that the church at Laodicea had sick eyes, and they needed to buy ointment of the Lord for their eyes. Now, their physical eyes, indeed, an ointment was made there in Laodicea. Perhaps the first eye ointment that was ever made was made in Laodicea. But they needed more than just a physical eye repair. They needed to have their heart's eyes cleaned and sharpened for the good of their soul. So when we talk about the eyes of the heart, of course, we're talking about those which give appreciation, interest, and also devotion and understanding to the will of God. In Ephesians 5:17, so he says, look carefully how you walk, verse 15, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so we have to have our heart's eyes open to have that understanding and to walk uprightly before the Lord. I was intending to mention to you, if you get GBN, that I'm to be on that panel tomorrow night about 6 o'clock answering questions that are called in by phone. And you may want to call in some questions, but be sure they're easy questions, if you will, since I'm one that's on the other end of that. But I did intend to announce that to you. But what are we looking at? What are we looking for? In John 8:32, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so that's what we should be looking at and what we should be looking for. Because what we do is determined, as we notice, by what we see. And if we do not see the things which God wants us to see, we won't be doing them, will we? But when we have our eyes, the heart's eyes open, then we're able to see more than the unseen. And we're able to see that which cannot be seen with the physical eye. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1, and the evidence of things not seen. And so it is that faith, which comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God, is that which opens the heart's eyes. So when we think about that, we noticed this morning two things that our eyes needed to be wide open on. One of them was the privileges and blessings of being children of God. If we forget what a pleasure it is, if we forget what an honor it is to be God's children, we're going to be of all men most pitiable. Indeed, that's what the Bible says. He says, if in this life, 1 Corinthians 15:19, in this life we only have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. If this is all there is, if there's not going to be a resurrection of the dead, as he's been talking about in 1 Corinthians 15, and we have depended on that, we say our heart's eyes have seen that, we're to be pitied because we're deplorable in our condition. In Matthew 6:33, he said, now seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And in Matthew 22:37, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So our blessings and privileges as children of God are great. And then we have to have our eyes, the eyes of our heart open to the beauties of worship. And if we don't, we won't really get much out of worship. We will not give as we should either. But then again, the third place, we need to know the activities of the church and its mission. If our heart's eyes are not open to that, then we're not going to serve as we should. In our prayer tonight, Brother Ron mentioned the fact that we are to carry the gospel to all nations. And indeed, that is true. As far as we're possibly able to reach out in harmony with our abilities and our opportunities, we're to preach the gospel to the world. Romans 14:17, I remind you again, says, for the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, the mission of the church and the mission of Christ are one and the same thing. In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what our mission is. We're to be seeking to save that which is lost. And how horrible it is to think how many, many people are in a lost condition. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he said, among whom I am chief. Now there is work for us to do then. There's work for everyone in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the body is many members. And he said, the foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the ear to the eye, or the eye to the ear, either way, that I have no need of thee. All of us are important in the Lord's kingdom. So we have to have our eyes of our heart open to that, because everyone in the body has the opportunity and the obligation to edify others. This is a work for elders. It's a work for deacons. It's a work for preachers. It's a work for Bible teachers. It is a work also for members of the Lord's church. And where our membership is where we're to be devoted in giving of our time and our energies to these opportunities and obligations which are ours. And we should be able to say with Paul in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Our mission then is very important. Our mission, of course, is to restore the uncorrupted church revealed on the pages of divine inspiration and uphold it, its bloodstained banner before the world. Why? Because that's the only hope the world has. That's the reason Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so we don't want any of those who are around us to be lost. So we must preach the gospel. That's God's power to save. Open the eyes of our heart also to the opportunities that are around us. You know, we find those opportunities abounding. And in the light of the developments of home, at home and abroad, we need to have the eyes of our heart open to our opportunities. We mentioned GBN a few moments ago. That's a great opportunity. A Bible Answer comes out of the Dyersburg Church. Also, we have OABS coming out of that congregation where people can study the Bible on computer. We have the great Memphis School of Preaching here in Memphis. Wonderful work and an extended work of thousands of gospel preachers who have gone forth to preach the gospel to the world. Well, we wonder, how did the apostles do it? You know, Paul said in Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We have an obligation, don't we? We have a work to do. How in the world did they do it? They didn't have cars. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have televisions. They didn't have those things such as newspapers or good buildings or computers with which to work like we do. Now, with all of those blessings of help we have, we need to be using them, don't we? And indeed, every blessing that we have has a corresponding responsibility. And when you have that blessing, then you have to look for the opportunity to help others and to teach others. And there's opportunity also that we need to have the eyes of our heart open to develop ourselves as better servants. We need to be able to lead a better song this year than we could last year, teach a better class, preach a better sermon, pray a better prayer. We're not ever to be satisfied. We need to have the eyes of our hearts open to the opportunities that are ours. Do you see the opportunity to expand the church here and abroad? Do you see that opportunity when so many people are lost? We have the gracious plan of salvation revealed in the New Testament. Are we giving it out, or are we just letting it be and not telling anybody about it? And many don't know and do not believe what the Bible teaches about the one church. They believe that all religions are going to be saved. They believe that everybody's going to go to heaven, doesn't matter which path they travel. And yet the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Ephesians 4, he said, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. And that body's the church. And so there is but one church. And we need to help others to see that. I wonder, are we thankful for those things? And then we need to have the eyes of our heart open to the resources of strength that are ours. Sometimes we think everything's in our own strength. We don't have any help. We're all alone in this work, but you know, that's just not true. You remember in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, there verses 9 through 20, we find Elisha. Elisha was a prophet of God. Syria was fighting against Israel. But Israel, every time they would fix up a camp where they were going to attack Israel, we find Elisha telling the king Jehoiakim where that was going to happen. And so because of that, they were ruined. They didn't have anybody who could approach them and take over Israel. Somebody said, who's the spy among us? And Jehoiakim wanted to tell them, and we find that they was told to the king, oh, we have no spies here, but Elijah can tell what you say in your bedchamber. Elijah is a prophet of God. And so because of that, he said, where is he? Well, they said, he's in Dothan. He said, let's go get him. Because you see, as a prisoner, he couldn't talk. And they went down there to get him. And when Elijah's servant woke early in the morning, he went out to look around, and there were chariots and horses all around that city. They had come to take Elijah. And he went back and said, oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? We're surrounded here. And Elijah said, don't worry about it. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And you know he did. And he saw horses of fire and chariots of fire all around that city protecting Elijah. You know, we do not see always God's providential care. But his divine protection is there. For his children, he always cares for us. And he's always willing to protect us from harm. And so in his providence, God's power is sufficient. And faith, of course, helps us to see, as I said, the unseen. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In Ephesians 3:20-21, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto him who according to his power worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ unto all generations, forever and forever. Paul uses compound emphasis here when he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Yes, we indeed have the God's power as sufficient for everything we need. In John 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and every branch in me that abideth in me, he'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. So here's the resources that are ours. I wonder, do we realize we're not in this alone? But we need to have the eyes of our heart open to the resources of strength that are ours. And then last of all, we need to have our eyes of our heart open to the realities of Christianity. You know, the realities are there. In Romans 8, we find verse 16 through 18. Paul said, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I reckon, he said in verse 18, that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to usward. Well, here we find there's some suffering here. There's some things that fit us for eternal glory. Those things which we suffer here are simply sharpening our vision so that we can see the real blessings of heaven and the rest that is there. And he said it's really not worthy to be compared. It really just ends in insignificance when you think about how little we suffer here for the blessings that we will receive there. But our eyes of our heart need to be open to these things. And you know, to draw back from accepting the suffering is to fail of the reward. You remember what 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12 says? Paul said to Timothy, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. In Matthew 10, 32, 33, Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. So in the realities of Christianity, we need to learn how to become a Christian by faith. You know, faith comes by hearing God's word, and we're all, Galatians 3, 26, made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For, he said, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female. We're all one man in Christ. We have equal opportunities to obey and to be saved. Now, are you in a saved condition? Are the eyes of your heart open to what it really takes to become a Christian and to live the Christian life? Of course, we need to have our eyes open to that. And Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. In other words, he's following the Word of God. No wonder he told Timothy then, 2 Timothy 2:15, you study, Timothy, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The eyes of our heart need to be open. The eyes of your heart, did they see the crucifixion of Christ? Were you there when they crucified the Lord? Oh, you weren't there personally, I know, but you could be there by faith. And the eyes of your heart can see that crucifixion. You can see him hanging on the cross between two thieves. You can see the terrible way he was treated. You can see what men of wicked nature refused and rejected him in such a manner that they put him on the cross. But then again, are the eyes of your heart open to the resurrection of Christ? How that he did not remain in the grave, but he came forth on the first day of the week, victorious over death, and as in Christ all are made alive. He said, so, or as in Christ, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so the resurrection is assured to us. Have the eyes of your heart been open to that? And were the eyes of your heart able to see the ascension of Christ? You know, in Acts the first chapter, there was the apostles who were gazing into heaven, and two men stood by them in white apparel and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus whom you saw going away shall also come in like manner as you saw him going away. He went with the clouds into heaven. He'll come back with a cloud. But has your eye of your heart seen that? And then again, have the eyes of your heart seen his glorification? He's at the right hand of God. That's where the glorification is. He has all power in heaven and upon earth. You say, well, what is that glorification of importance to me for? Well, because you're an heir of heaven, and you're going to be those who are with him as joint heirs with Christ in heaven at last. And have the eyes of your heart seen the church? I don't mean if your eyes of your heart seen religion. Everybody's perhaps seen some kind of religion, but I mean the Lord's church, the called out, those who are called out by the gospel, who come to the refuge in Christ in the church for their salvation, because that's their only hope. And have the eyes of your heart been opened to heaven? Have you seen heaven? Have you seen the beauties of the wall around it and the gates made of pearl? And have you seen the street of gold? And have you seen the city there that is foursquare, where all the redeemed of all the ages come together in that one place? Oh, what a wonderful thing to have the eyes of our heart open to that. And then are the eyes of your heart open to hell? That's a horrible place. And it is that where the crying and the gnashing of teeth shall never stop. And it is that where the lake of fire is. And in Matthew 25:46, of the wicked he said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto everlasting life. And so we need to have the eyes of our heart open to these things, don't we? We must see that if the eyes of our heart are not open, we won't see the real desirableness of living. Living in Christ, serving God, and going to heaven. And in order to live right and die right, we have to seek the eyes of our heart opened to all of these things, to behold His truth, to earnestly desire, to fully understand. And as Ephesians 5:17 says, be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the real guide for life. We sang a few moments ago, how shall the young secure their hearts and keep their lives from sin? Well, he said, thy word is the perfect way to do that. And that's what the psalmist said. He said that a young man needs to purge his way by paying attention to the word of God. Now, the eyes of many hearts are not open. They're not seeing. And you wonder why. Somebody said at lunch today, well, if I can see it, it looks like everybody could see it. And that's true. You do feel that way. But here's the cause on that. 2 Corinthians 3, where he says in verse 3 through 4, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should even dawn upon them. What's wrong? The glory and the benefits of the gospel are not seen by many people. Why not? Well, because the God of this world has blinded their minds. It's not the gospel's fault. It's not God's fault or Christ's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's those people whose eyes are closed. That's the ones. In fact, Jesus met those in Matthew 13:15. He said, this people's hearts are waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest happily they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn again, and I'll heal them. You see, it's not that God doesn't want people to be saved, but the devil has the homage of men. They want to live worldly life, and they do. And so the eyes of their heart are crusted over, and they need eye save in order that they may be able to see what really is important in life. But you know those who come behind us. What are they going to see in our lives? Are they going to see those who have given themselves to the cause of Christ, and therefore others ought to do the same? Or are they going to see some who are weak-kneed, unafraid, or rather afraid to stand up for what is right? You know, in Matthew 18:6-7, there Jesus said, whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it were better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck and he be sunk in the depth of the sea. He said, woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs be that offenses come. But woe unto that man by whom they come. Woe means misery. It means distress. It means punishment. And therefore, if we have caused those who come after us to falter in the way because we haven't lived right, we'll have more sin than what we would have had otherwise. Let's be sure that the eyes of our heart are open and that we realize the beauties of being children of God, the beauties of worship, the beauties of seeing the mission of the Lord's church, the beauty of seeing the realities of Christianity, the beauties of seeing the strength that is ours through the providence of God. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, hear His word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ with your mouth before men. That's the instruction of the Bible. And be buried in the waters of baptism to wash away your sins. Arise to walk in newness of life. Don't live that old life of sin again. Have the eyes of your heart open. And then continue. And when you do falter or fall short, pray God that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. If it is a public sin, acknowledge it publicly so that you may be forgiven. We'd be glad to pray with you tonight if that be needful. And then, of course, place your membership under the oversight of the elders of the church. That's God's plan. And if you want to go to heaven, you'll have to walk in God's plan. So if you're here tonight, you're subject in any way to the gospel call, come now. While together we stand and while we sing.